Well, I am home. five thoughts of death.
Took what the world saw as worthless and made it a masterpiece, made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand. Reach from our God above, nothing that I have done. No offer was enough for what you see today.
Amen.
Was made by mercy, saved by grace.
Yeah.
I can't explain how he found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin.
Right.
Oh, but Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and he did his work within.
Yes.
With the skill of a potter, he molded me in the image of him. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand.
Bless the Lord.
Reach from our God above, nothing that I have done. No offer was enough for what you see today.
Stand too much.
Hey, you mind the Lord. You all right.
I like this song right here. When the last ray of sunshine in my life has faded and the time to cross Jordan is near, somebody waiting
Amen.
When I say goodbye to loved ones down here.
Amen.
I know that the Savior is waiting.
Amen.
His sweet face will be the first that I view.
Thank you, Lord. Bless his sweet name.
If someone asks me how I made it, quickly I'll say it, by the blood of the Lamb, I made it through.
That's right.
When I come in the presence of my blessed Savior, I will bow at his nail-scarred feet. I will thank him for dying,
yes,
and paying the pardon,
yes,
for a sinner condemned and unclean.
Amen.
If someone asks me how I made it, quickly I'll say it, by the blood of the Lamb, I made it through. And by the blood of the Lamb, I made it through. Found a beggar, and I found a king. me. Now listen. I traded for Calvary the rags of my soul.
Ain't you glad of that tonight?
I gave him the pieces and he made me whole.
Yes, he did.
I brought to him nothing and he gave me everything. He found a beggar and I found a king.
Amen.
John chapter 21, I'm going to read the first 6 verses here. So after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise shed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it up for the multitude of the fishes.
Amen.
And go, Lord, in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather at your house, God. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the truth behind it. God, we thank you, Lord, for your Son, God, that shed his sins. Lord, that we might even have the reason to gather together, Lord. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you be with these verses. God, I'm asking, Lord, that I might be able to give your people, God, just a hint of what you've given me. God, I'm asking, Lord, that your name be high lifted up. God, I'm asking, Lord, that your church be edified. God, I'm asking, Lord, that we might be able to say this has been good to be in your house. In the name of Jesus, ask, amen. I thank God that it has been good to be in the house.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for the brother. Thank the Lord that you come out. Y'all can be seated.
Yeah.
I'd just like to look at this about fishing with your nets on the wrong side.
Yeah.
And we know that most of these men, when the Lord called them out and called them into service, their occupation was fishermen. There's a few of them. So there were some people in this verses here in this passage that knew a little bit about the fishing. However, that was before the Lord came in.
Yeah.
So when we see here, now we go in and we look at verse 3, says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And we find out that the Lord had revealed himself on 2 separate occasions after his resurrection. And that's where God's people found themselves. That's where the disciples that sat at the Lord's feet, and these aren't the people that heard of him. These aren't second or third generation Christians. These are the very men that God chose and called out to set up and establish the beginnings of his church. He told Peter that upon this rock, now we know Peter wasn't the rock, but what did Peter have? The words that were the rock.
Yeah.
He was revealed to him that he was the rock.
Yeah.
These are the people that knew that this was the stone that the builders had rejected.
Right.
These people knew that. Nobody else knew about it. The town hadn't known about it. These guys, for the most part, they were saddened by the death of their Savior. They had sat there and they had seen their Lord crucified. No doubt some of these men had huddled in fear because they were afraid of what the world would do to them if they got a hold of them. They were afraid of what would go on. And you know what I said? They spent some time sneaking out some back alleys and maybe wondering what in the world they're going to do to get through. And the Lord had appeared a couple times. And I would say that maybe after the Lord had resurrected, that maybe they were just wondering but when that next appearance was going to come. But we find out it hadn't been a few days. And these men found themselves sitting around looking at each other for something to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd like to kind of challenge the church tonight about. Why do we have our nets on the wrong side of the boat?
Right.
And why in the world are we acting like we ain't got nothing to do? And I say this because I'm just as much as anybody else.
This is
the thing about the Lord speaking to you and hitting you with something. I'm not worthy to stand here. I'm not worthy to be a representation of his holy and righteous kingdom. But for some reason, the Lord chooses to look down and look at this dust. And he saw fit to give me a message I'm passing on. But I'm saying when we find ourselves in these scriptures here, I'd like to say 3 different areas. God has a nice little 3-point introduction here for us tonight about 3 things that we found, these disciples of the Lord. The first thing is that the 7 disciples found themselves together. Now, even though they had their, they would eventually have their nets on the wrong side, we found that they were together while they were doing it. Yeah. We know that Hebrews chapter 10, 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together,
right,
as the manner of some is, which means as the way some people are, meaning how they do it, some people don't get together. But he says we need to not forsake that assembling. And then it says that the much more as we see the day approaching.
Hey,
and
yeah,
it is as here, as they were later on confronted with the Lord face to face, they got a good dose of the Lord coming. We're going to get to that here in a minute. But they found themselves together. They found themselves just being in the same boat. But they found themselves with no vision here. And that's the second thing. They found themselves with no purpose. And I thank God that my grandpa, he was able to pass on a few things to me. And one of his favorite verses was, where there was no vision, that the people perished. And that's what these men found themselves as they were sitting in this boat together. They found themselves with no vision. They found themselves not knowing what to do. When one sat around and he just popped up and says, hey, I think I'm going to go fishing, the rest of them just kind of popped up and said, I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
At no point did they realize the mission that they'd been given. They didn't realize that the church has something to do.
Right.
And they have forgot that. And the reason we pass this on is, I forget it, is the day in, the day out, we get up, we go to work, we get off work, we try to pick up the kids, we get home, we try to get something to eat, then you try to beat to church, and you sit here, and you go through the deal, and it gets over and over and over again. Every day it seems like the alarm clock goes up, and you get in that rat race, and we forget that that's not what the Lord sent us here for.
Right.
We forget that that's not what the mission of us are, and we find ourselves, even though we might have good intentions, and even though we might have the best things planned, we find that even the people who sat at the Lord's feet found themselves wondering on what in the world they had to do.
Amen.
And if that can happen to these men of God, it sure can happen to us.
Yep.
And when the church finds out that you got your net on the wrong side of the boat, Jesus told them to put their net on the right side of the boat. And I'm kind of flipping through here pretty fast here, but we find out that when the Lord had called these men, he told them, he said, if you come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah,
now these guys might have got that little crushed up on them. He might have said, well, you know what, the Lord said we're going to be fishers here, but you know what, they was fishing in a boat, but we're not supposed to be fishing for the physical things of this world. We're not supposed to be fishing for stuff. Maybe they had some monetary gain, they needed some money. Instead of trusting on the Lord to provide for them, maybe they thought that that boat was going to go back. Maybe what the Lord saved us from is something that gets us on the wrong side of the boat. Maybe when the Lord calls us out of a past occupation, and all of a sudden we find the way he found us, and then he transforms us. Well, sometimes we want to slip back into that thing. Sometimes the thing that makes sense before you get saved doesn't make sense after you get saved. Sometimes that fishing trip is more than just a fishing trip. And we see here that when he called them, he said, hey, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. The Lord had a visionment, and his church had a purpose, and these men were called into that purpose. But they had forgotten what their purpose was.
Right.
And the third thing we find here is that they were sitting there empty. And they sat there all night, didn't have anything to do. And Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not in thine own understanding,
right,
and all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now these men right here, they knew something about fishing. And I would say when old Peter got out there, and we know James and John, their dad had them a fishing company when he found him. And I'd say them boys been raised up on the boat. They'd been raised up in what was going on there. And I'd say they had them a good spot picked out.
Yeah.
I would say that in their own understanding and in their own fleshly carnal desires, they thought they were where they wanted to be. But thank God when the Lord shows up and he tells us, hey, fish on the other side.
Amen.
But he didn't just say fish on the other side. He said fish on the right side.
Yes,
and all of a sudden when he found out that they followed that and they went on to the right side, that the Lord blessed them, and they didn't know if they was going to be able to get all the fish into it because they didn't trust in their own understanding because they tried that. Now I'm just wondering if there's somebody here, maybe some young people, maybe some church people who's maybe been trying to fish on that left side, maybe it's starting to get a little bit tiresome. He said that they spent up all night, and I'd say these boys was worn out. I'll be honest with you, I myself, I'm not a big fan of being a fisherman. I used to go with my grandpa a little bit, but it probably had more to ride around in the boat than it did to actually put the extra oars in. I think every now and then he'd let me drive it, and that's why I went, but I don't really have the patience for fishing. But you know what? Some people like it. But they sat here all night. They tried all night, and it wearied them. It got them worn down. It got them wondering, is there something more? And I was saying, as they had to get the nets set out, it takes a little bit to get out there on a boat. You got to have your nets together. You got to make sure that you got to mend it up. You got to make sure there ain't no holes in it so nothing's going to get out. And there's another message right there, but ain't the one the Lord called me into, about mending your nets and making sure you're ready to catch the fish when the Lord tells you to catch the fish. Right. But that's for somebody else. But if we'd like to look at 2 Peter, just like to mention a few verses here about when these men found themselves empty, and they one of them stood and said, well, let's go. The rest of them went. But here's something else upon their mission. A few things that the Lord will tell us that give us some stuff to do when we think we don't have anything doing. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Thank God that he provides us a way to escape that corruption. Thank God that even when we're on the wrong side of the boat, that he won't let us, he gives us a way out, and he won't leave us the way that he found us. In verse 5 he says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that they make you that ye shall never be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. But you know what? It's easy to forget some of this thing. He says these people have forgotten what they've been called for. Sometimes, as we're sitting in this boat together, we're in church. Our name's written in heaven. That the Lord has redeemed us and made us joint heirs with Christ. And we're together, we're going to church, Sunday morning check, Sunday night check, Wednesday check, Thursday check. We got something going on at the church on Saturday, check that. We're going to do something in between Sundays, and we check that. And we go through and we get through these things, and we forget. We forget that the Lord has called us. We forget that the Lord has brought us up out of it. For young people, you guys are going to find yourself in my shape a little bit farther down the road. Thank God that my testimony is, at 11 years old, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. At 11 years old, the Lord saved me from a bunch of stuff. The Lord saved me from being an alcoholic, but he didn't save me from a bottle. He saved me from a bottle. And he saved me from these things that I wouldn't have to realize that I had stuff to focus on. As young kids, we realize that when the Lord saves us and we get older, if we forget what we're doing, if we think that just coming to church on Sunday and getting together and singing in the choir and just coming and being inside these walls, if we think that this is all that it is, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And we forget that the God has given us a purpose, and that the Lord has given us a direction, and that our job is to go out and bring them in. Hey! The preacher asked everybody the other day, what's our purpose? Our purpose, number one on earth, is to get saved and come back into fellowship with God, which was his plan from the garden. His plan was to have fellowship with us. Man fell and came out of fellowship. But when through his son's death, we can find fellowship with God. And then once we have that, our job is to go out and tell other people that they may find the fellowship of God. I love that what the preacher said about Penn and Teller. They come out. He said, how mad you have to be at somebody to not tell them that there's a hell that they're going to go to. We've all got friends that we think we might hurt their feelings if we tell them about the Lord. We've all got people who may live next door to the church. They may be people at Christmas sitting across the table. There's people that we're afraid. But you know what? What I'm more afraid of is, what happens when they get thrown into the lake of fire? What happens when they stand before a just and mighty God and their sins have not been purged? What happens to those people? And I'm going to go a little further, because I'm going to head a little bit into the mission field here for a second. But what happens to that man who's sitting in Mexico who's never heard the gospel? What happens to that man across the sea? This ain't just losing our vision for South Lebanon. We need to start realizing we got a problem going around the world. And you know what? Maybe the Lord can use Mount Zion just for a piece of that. And I know there's stuff coming. The pastor's going to talk about it. But the Lord's burdened my heart for too long, Pastor. I got to bring it out. There are people dying and going to hell that we go go to school with,
yes.
People dying and going to hell that we work with,
right.
People dying and going to hell that we see on TV,
right.
Across the pond. But you know what? Thank God that the Lord sees fit to save some of the people.
Right.
Them people over there we're hearing about, I don't know if anybody's fallen to this thing in Iran,
yep.
But Pastor Saeed Abedini was released from Iran.
Amen.
He's going to be meeting his wife here in Germany.
Amen.
You know what? For over 3 years,
right.
This man has been held in Iranian prison. He's been charged with being a Christian and being charged with spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've heard this man's testimony. He claims he's been saved. I may not know all of his doctrine, but I tell you what, if his name's written in Lamb's Book of Life, he's my brother. If his name's written in heaven, he's my brother.
Yep.
And we need to be standing up and realizing we've got it pretty nice as we're sitting out here in our still calm waters, and we're sitting here in our boat, and we ain't got no waves going, and all of a sudden we post something about Jesus on Facebook, and one of our atheist buddies come on there and tells us to get a life, and all of a sudden we start to cry and think we've been persecuted. We haven't been persecuted.
Right.
The Lord has saw fit to protect us here in the United States of America.
That's exactly
but we don't need to go asleep in our boat. We don't need to just fish off the left side. We need to realize we need to be on the right side. We need to go out and reach. We need to start at Jerusalem and then head on out. Well, we need to start at South Lebanon. We need to get South Lebanon. I'm not just for foreign missions and not for home missions.
Right.
We're all over. If it's got to go promoting the Lord and spreading Christianity throughout the world, tell people they're going to die and go to hell if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, then we need to get on board with that.
Amen.
We had an opportunity to go to a concert, and we had some young kids that were sitting at the concert. At the intermission, they presented a mission where they had some young kids that were starving around the world. This wasn't even telling them about Jesus. This was just about feeding them. And all of a sudden, we've got a bunch of our young kids, and they said, all right, now guys, here it is. For $35 a month, you take this card, you go ahead and you write it down, and you send it out, and we'll feed them and we'll support them. I don't know if the church here knows here, but I kind of felt a little ashamed, to be honest with you, Pastor, because I had to tell some of our kids to put their hands down, because I didn't know what mom and dad would think if they came home with an obligation to pay $35 a month. But what that shows me is there's a need for us here at Mount Zion to reach out, take our net off this quiet side, take our net off this side, they ain't got no fish in it, and turn it over and throw it on the right side. If that's foreign missions, let's go. If that's not, let's go too.
Yeah.
But let's go where the Lord says he wants us to be. Let's take our nets out of this that we ain't doing nothing with, and let's cast it in rough waters, and let's try to save some of these from the fire. We got some young kids seen presenting foreign missions for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, preacher, they were thirsty.
Yeah.
They knew, you know what, there's something more to this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the church is wrong. I don't want anybody to think that I'm pulling down on God's grand old church. I'm just saying sometimes it gets easy to sit here and just focus on this.
Right.
And the Lord's saying he wants us to go out and stretch out like this.
Bless the Lord.
I'm going to flip back here, back to John, going back to the whole base for a second. And just see here that verse 7 says, therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. But when the disciples saw that it was the Lord who was talking to them, they got a little excited. When they saw that, hey, you know what? We was in this little lull, and we maybe was fishing on the wrong side, but all of a sudden, here comes the master of the sea. Here comes the great physician standing on the shore and called out to him. They said, you know what? I can get to him. When we find out, church, that we've been fishing on the wrong side of the boat, we can run to him, go to the master. He tells them here, he said, they look at him, and all of a sudden, in verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, he said, come and dine. So now the disciples did ask him, who art thou? Because they knew who the Lord was.
Right.
You know what? When it's time to get you to pull your net up out the water, the Lord's going to tell you.
Yeah.
When the Lord tells you that you're fishing in the wrong spot, you don't have to ask who it is.
Right.
Disciples didn't have to ask who he was. They knew that it was the Lord who was talking to them. Then the last thing here to kind of sum this up is once they found out they was on the wrong side, once they found out that the Lord wanted them to fish off the right side of the boat, then they found themselves full.
Yeah.
And that's the message for the night that the Lord has us, is that if we would get on the right side of the boat, that we can find ourselves full. And if you guys, I've already hit on the fact that when Peter and them boys were walking through there, Jesus called out to him. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Well, after they was talking to him, right before the Lord ascended, he asked Peter if he loved him. And three different times he said, if you love me, he says, feed my sheep. And you know what, before the Lord ascended and the other Gospels, he told him, said, take the gospel to the world.
Right.
That's what the Lord tells us tonight. If the mission field is our backyard, then that's our backyard,
hey.
And we fishing. If that mission field is the kids on the school bus go, you go out there and you shine your light and you tell them about the Lord. You go out there, if the mission field happens to be the state of Ohio, then church, it's time to get ready and figure out how we're going to reach the state of Ohio. If it's the United States of America, Mount Zion Baptist Church needs to figure out how are we going to reach the United States. If it's stretching across the sea and reaching into maybe uncharted territories, if we're fishing on the right side of the boat, we're going to find ourselves full no matter what. But we let the Lord lead and guide us. We let the Lord call us out. This wasn't somebody talking to him from the guy down the street wasn't calling out to him. This was the Lord. But if you guys would like to turn to the book of Joshua, I'd kind of like to hit on one little thing here before I close this up and turn the preacher loose here. In Joshua chapter 2, I'd like to tell you about somebody who found themselves on the wrong side of the boat. I'd like to talk about somebody by the name of Rahab. Right here, some of you guys may know the story. Hopefully most of you do, maybe some of you don't. But there was a young lady here named Rahab, and I'd like to read here from Joshua 2, 8 through 14. It says, and there they were laid down, and she came unto them upon the roof. This is talking about the spies that Joshua had sent in to look out at Jericho. Verse 9 says, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and are on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in my... neither to reign any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and given me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Verse 14, it says, these men answered, said, our lives for yours, if ye utter not this business. And she made a deal with them. This lady found herself in a foreign land. She found herself in a situation where her and her people and her ancestry was set up against God. She found herself sitting in a boat, if you will, with the net cast on the wrong side. And all of a sudden, it said the terror came and was known. And we heard about your God. And we heard about what he did. They said we got scared. Our man couldn't even stand up. We still serve that God. That same God that went forth and was broadcasted in this Old Testament is the same one that we serve now. Yeah, that same one who's still that Jesus name. Precious name of Jesus, when it's sent out, it still brings men to weak to their knees. It still goes out in them lands. But all of a sudden, we find out that somebody had heard about Jericho. Yeah. Somebody had heard about what God had said. Somebody had witnessed. They may not have been a Jew, but somebody was a missionary and didn't even know it. Yeah. When this lady heard, she said, you know what? I heard the truth. I heard what your God can do. And I know that I want to be on your side. She had the chance to stand up, and she could have been pretty cool in that kingdom. She could have been set up pretty nice because the king had sent men to her and said, we heard that these boys was in here. Right. She could have turned them right away. I'd just say he'd have put a crown on her head, probably would have put a robe on her back. Now, this lady was a prostitute. She didn't have much going on here. She was a woman of ill repute, a woman that sit around here. I don't have to go any further in what a prostitute does for a living, but this woman had nothing to offer. Right. But guess what? I found myself one day when I was sitting here listening to a man preaching, when I heard about what was going on, and I didn't have anything to offer. All I heard was a man said, Jesus Christ is the answer. I found myself needing a Savior. I was told by a man preaching the gospel on who he was, and I decided to pull my old dead net out of the left side and cast it on the right side and go with the Lord. And that's what this woman did right here. She said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to forsake this land I'm living in. I'm going to forsake this house, and I'm going to go with God, sink or swim. I'm going to put my net on the right side and see what happens. Well, I'd like y'all to switch with me here to Matthew chapter 1 for a second.
Yes, Lord.
In the book of Matthew, we find out that this woman's story's not done.
Right.
This woman who found herself useless, found herself wanting, found herself an alien to the Commonwealth of Egypt, if we want to go ahead and put it that way. This woman who thought she didn't have anything, but the one thing that she had to offer was the willingness to believe. The willingness to say, I'm going to go with God's people. And right here in verse 5, it says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechob. Now, if everybody would like to just in your imagination pull that C out of that name, we'll find out that this is Rahab's name sitting right here. This is Rahab's translated name right here in the Bible. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And we find out this woman who found herself with nothing to offer the Lord, this woman who found herself as a prostitute, sitting in the house, and all of a sudden the army of God was going to come in and was going to tear it down. She had nothing to offer. But you know what? It said, and Salmon begat Boaz, and we know who Boaz is, and the preacher talked about Ruth just the other day. But you know what God says? He said, if you will allow yourself to be a vessel, if you'll allow yourself to side against yourself and go with him,
yep,
God can use you. And all of a sudden the Bible tells us that a man named Solomon, that he looked at her and he liked that woman. You know what probably was attractive about her? It had nothing to do with how she looked. If she was willing to go with God, she was willing to take that net, and she was willing to cast it on the right side. Said, and Salmon got Boaz, and then Boaz begot Obed and Ruth. And we know the story of Ruth. Same thing with Boaz and Ruth. There was another woman who was willing to forsake her past, knowing that she had nothing to offer God, accepted the blessing, accepted the Lord, said, I'm going to sink or swim. I'm going to go with the Lord and go on. And said, and then they begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And we know David was the man that was after God's own heart. I would say he heard some stories about Granny. I'd say he heard some stories about old Ruth. I'd say he heard some stories about old great-grandma. And you know what this was? It all came down to a person who was willing to say, I'm going to side against myself. I'm going to set everything that I've got to the side, and I'm going to follow the Lord.
Oh,
and preacher, you go ahead and come on up. If you've got something else to say or whatever you want to do, close it. But I'd like to say right now and challenge everybody, our own thoughts, our own conceived notions are going to let us down. If we go through and we follow this and we walk through the motions of Christianity, it's going to leave us high and dry. It's going to leave us wanting more. If we come in here and we can't wonder out, but we can't figure out why our young kids don't see what's going on and don't see the need, they might be looking around. They know what somebody fishing on the wrong side of the boat looks like. And they look around and they see us. We've got a whole lost and dying world that's wanting more.
Yep.
They want to see something.
Yep.
When we're going through the motions and we're pulling out one or two fish a day, we're not giving them anything to strive for. You know what? The Lord has blessed us, and we put a lot of money inside this church, and our offering plates have never failed God one time. But I'm wondering if we stepped out and we started doing a little more, and not a little more just for the building, because God's going to take care of his building.
Sure.
But I wonder if we started going ahead and starting to try to say, we're going to reach this world. We're going to go ahead and we're going to start supporting some stuff. And I'm not saying, I'm not pulling up a guy right here and say, we're going to support this guy and we're going to support this guy. But I tell you what, if we're going with the Lord and we're fishing on the right side of the boat and we're willing to deny what we think is right and seek God's face and put his way before ours, God can use us. This same woman, all these young people right here, the path that God can have set before you. You have no idea what the Lord wants to use every person who's saved in this building.
Amen.
I'm not trying to just sit here and paint a good story and put a smiley face and say, the Lord's got something special for you. All you got to do is get saved and you're never going to have another bad day. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm saying if you'll be willing to be used, you won't find yourself with that net empty. I went to work a few times and I've stared walking in that place saying, I know there's more to life than this. And you know what? That's something that we get into, that grind. But the Lord says there is something more.
Yep.
We need to work for him. We need to follow him. We need to reach out. We need to worry about what he wants and start learning a little bit about what we want. Because what we want will get into the way. Pastor, you need to come on up here because I've done what the Lord wants me to put out. But just challenge everybody, that prostitute that had nothing to offer. And all of a sudden, God used that woman, used Ruth, nothing to offer. And all of a sudden, they were able to bring about the Lord. Bring about David. God said, I'm going to bring my son through you. You're going to be the one to save the light that lights up the world. All came through people who was willing to be used. Yes.